Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. It's the only way.
Wake up late. Now everybody. Wake up late. Everybody. Wake up late. Wake up.
It's late. Time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs, and now you know.
We're the hottest show in this
place.
Wake
up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody. I said one, two, three.
Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now. Let's start the show.
Yeah.
Bo-dum, bo-dum, bo-dum.
Woo!
Yeah, welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. It's Dougie Almeida. Back from my 3-week tour of the some of the finest... I don't want that. Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, why
starting
not?
To show off with a new little vibe.
Why not?
Yeah. I liked it.
Anyway, so yeah, I'm back.
It's good to have you back, man. I missed you.
Yeah, dude. It sucks when you're away for a long time, like 3 weeks. And then, like, I get home now, and I'm, like, I'm getting used to everything again. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't even recognize my wife.
For real, you do. You fall out of, like, your routine.
Yeah.
And you have to get reacclimated with your own thing. Like,
yeah.
You start forgetting stuff.
Yeah.
I
forgot I can make coffee in the morning.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there were certain things I could do when I was there. I was making coffee there.
Speaking of coffee, I just learned how to make, like, authentic Cuban coffee.
Right.
Last night, actually. And I've been just running on that all day today. That's my really? Only energy today. I'm loving it.
Well, that's good. I mean, I had my Dunkin' Donuts coffee. I mean, I had it when I was there, too. But I always get nervous when you're in a comedy condo making, like, coffee out of a machine where comics were at.
Right. You never know what they did to the machine.
Right. But, but it was funny because the clubs I worked at, like all the other comics, leave like a pipe.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, like hidden somewhere in the house.
Right. Well, I mean, do they leave a map that you have to find?
No.
It?
You here's me like an Easter egg hunt.
Yeah.
You know, I found it easy in the one place in Tulsa, but in the other place, I was like, I had to look. I couldn't find it anywhere.
So this is an actual thing. It's an unspoken thing.
Yeah.
But in every comic condo or house you stay in, there's a hidden pipe somewhere.
Yep.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, you do. And and then I couldn't find it in Oklahoma City.
Okay.
And but the MC found it. But he had, by that time he had brought his own.
Ah.
And he stayed there, so I was thankful for that.
But he found the hidden.
Yeah, it was like a little one.
Right.
And then I felt bad because on Monday when I left yesterday, I thought, all right, I'm gonna clean it out, and I put it in the sink, and I tapped it in the sink, and it cracked. Like,
oh,
like,
no!
It was just a piece of shit little pipe.
So, but that means the next person who goes there...
I left papers.
Okay, you paid it forward.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a downgrade, but still, it works.
And I left a little bit of smoke. I left like a little tiny bowl hit, you know, for them. I mean, that's a problem. You couldn't roll it.
But they'll figure it out. It was the gesture that counts.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't going to take it on the plane with me.
But that's damn party foul, Dougie.
Yeah.
You broke the fucking pipe.
What am I going to do?
Oh, man.
It was a bad one anyway. It was a
That's
piece
funny,
of shit.
Though. That's funny.
By the way, Peter Leonard's out today. He's not feeling well. And, of course, he lost his mother.
Yes.
This past weekend.
Very sad.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, the guy's, you know, I mean, he hates his mom. He always talks shit about, but I mean, you know, once she's gone, then.
Yeah.
It's hard to, you know, change.
It's, you know, it's still your mom at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know, everybody, you only have one.
Well, I'm sure he's thinking about all the bad things he said about her.
You think so?
Yeah, of course. You know.
I hope he's in good mind space and we'll see him again and he'll be happy.
Yeah.
I love Peter when he's happy.
Yeah. We're having our Wake Up Late with Dougie show Christmas party this year. Costco pizza.
Well, you know what? Because we give you shit about the Costco pizza all the time, so I think you were like, I'm tired of hearing about it.
Which, in turn, I give shit to my wife because it was her idea. I blame her all the time.
It was made out of the same material as the box.
I know. I can't tell which is the crust or the fucking box.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to have it at Anthony's Coal Fire this year.
Which is awesome. That place. Yeah. That, talk about some good pizza.
Yeah, in fact, Ciro can't make because he's working, but everybody else will be there.
Sucks.
And, you know, it's the holidays.
Yes.
So that's the way that goes.
That'll be fun.
So what else? So, oh, here's a funny part. Now, two things. When I was in Colorado Springs, which is beautiful, yeah, I had, you know, it was great, too, because my wife partaked.
Oh, did she?
Yeah. She doesn't, but she did then.
Nice.
When in Rome, do as the Romans, they say.
Of course, yeah.
And that was great. It was funny seeing her get a little buzzed.
So that was the first time you've ever, or
it's been a while since you've seen? Yeah.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So she, so I had like some left, and we were heading to the, you know, our rental car, driving back to Denver, and I'm like, all right, do I want to take a chance putting this in my luggage, my check-in bag?
I would never.
Yeah, and I didn't either.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
It felt hard. It was heart-wrenching when I threw it out the window.
Did it happen in slow motion?
Yeah.
You know? It's like, no.
I was going to like try to leave it somewhere where somebody would just find it. Go, oh, my God. You know, and, like leave it in a little can. Because I had it in one of those little plastic thing containers.
But you're in Colorado.
Yeah.
You could find that. No one. It's not going to surprise anyone.
Right.
There's like, okay.
Oh, somebody left their weed.
Yeah, big deal. But you could have paid it forward and hit it.
Well, yeah. I was thinking about that.
You know? Hit it at the comedy con.
Well, I couldn't bring it then, but...
No, I know.
So, so that, what else? Oh, so here's a big, you know, so the shows went great, man. It was a fun room. But the funny part was, on the way home, I was concerned because on Sunday, Atlanta's airport was closed.
Yeah, what happened with that?
Power outage. There was a fire in one of the rooms.
Wow.
And no terrorist action.
Thank the Lord. thank God.
So I'm thinking, well, thank God I didn't fly out Saturday or Sunday. I'm glad I waited a day to save about $100 on my flight.
Yeah.
And so now I'm flying out. So I get to Oklahoma City Airport, and my flight's delayed. And I'm thinking, oh, shit. Here we go. You know, this is it. Like, I have a connecting flight in Atlanta, so this is going to be an issue.
Oh, my God. You're going to be running for that flight if you even make it in time to catch your connecting flight.
Right.
That's the worst.
I'm like OJ now. And Atlanta's, you know, not a small airport.
Yeah.
So... I'm thinking. So I'm sitting there waiting for my flight, and all of a sudden, the ticket agent at the gate we're overbooked for this flight, and we're going to take the first five volunteers, where we're going to be offering $1,000 travel credit to tickets for a year.
That's happened to me before.
$1,000,
but I never took it. But that's such a great
$1,000 is like three. That's like three trips. For
and
me.
What do they do? They just bump you to the next flight or the next whatever.
Whenever, I mean, okay. At that point, I'd have to go back and stay at the condo.
Yeah.
And I already broke the goddamn pipe. And I think that's what kept me from, like, considering getting the $1,000.
Right.
But I've been gone for 3 weeks. I'm like, I just want to go home. I don't want to deal with this.
You're over it. Yeah,
of course. I'm ready packed. I don't want to go back. I mean, it was ideal for me because I go back to the comedy condo. I don't have to worry about getting a hotel. I just got to worry about $20-$30 Uber drive.
Mm-hmm.
And I go back and I hang out, tell the club owner, no problem. And I got $1,000. I could fly Delta. I could fly my next three or four gigs for free. But, eh. But listen, the minute they mention it and that hesitation, I hesitated. Like, boom, line full, five people.
Oh, yeah.
They all got their $1,000.
That goes really fast.
Shit.
Really quick. I actually just got a bunch of free miles for Spirit.
Really?
And, yeah, I'm using them. We got pretty much free flights to go to Baltimore and back, round trip, me and my...
How'd you just get them? Just from using them in the past?
Well, no, I had a buddy who, he just recently stopped working for them, but he gave me some, like, vouchers. And you sign in, and it gives you 20,000 miles. But the thing that, the way it works is, each flight, each way,
right,
it uses 10,000 of the miles.
Yeah.
Even regardless of how, it's up to 10,000 miles.
Right, it kind of equates to $100, doesn't it? 10,000?
Yeah, it's probably a cheap flight.
Because that's what happened, by the way. Because I got booked at Laugh Factory.
Okay.
My good friend Joey Medina, thanks, buddy. Knows I'm trying to get in there, so he calls me when I'm in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
That's awesome.
He says, "Hey, man, you free the 26th or 31st to come to the Laugh Factory?" I'm like, "Yeah,
yeah, hell yeah."
But then, of course, I thought, "Well, fuck, I'm not going to be with my wife on New Year's."
Right.
I'm already gone most of December anyway.
Right.
This isn't going to go well.
But you can't say no to that.
No, that's me.
Can't.
I'm saying no. I'm not going to, yeah, I'm going to do it. And then, but then I started thinking, okay, I started looking online at flights. The flights alone are about as much as I'm going to get paid
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm like, well, is this really about making money? Is it about making a move?
It's about networking, making right. a connection. Yeah. Right. You gotta bite that bullet.
And then I thought about it. I had a friend that works for JetBlue, so I try to get a buddy pass. But that's like, I'd have to fly out on Christmas night.
Oof.
Because it's a late fly. It's a red eye. I'm like, I don't want to do that. Then I'm looking at my Amex. I go, I got like 280,000 points I've never used.
Right.
This is the time to use them.
Hell yeah.
80,000 points. Boom. Gone. Tickets taken care of.
Nice.
So December 26th and 31st, I'll be in Reno at the Laugh Factory with Joey Medina and Jay Hollingsworth. So I can't wait for that.
Look at that. You're booking big stuff. And you can see me December 27th dressed as Olaf at a fucking kids party.
Olaf is the
snowman from Frozen.
Yeah.
I booked it, man. I'm so excited. This outfit is so, if I don't know if you know, but if you've ever like been a costume character, I don't right. know if you've ever done nothing like that.
No.
But I'm like small. I fit in a lot of the costumes, and I've been doing this for years. But this one, Olaf, is so hot.
Yeah.
And it's a bitch, man. You're sitting in this thing for an hour at a time.
Yeah, it seems like it's, you know.
It's hot, and you got to be, you know, jumping around. You can't be a boring-ass cartoon
character.
You can't
be a boring snowman.
No, you got to be, well, I mean, you could be. I like to hold it, I freeze, and I scare right. people. That's a lot of fun. But yeah, check me out, guys. It's Olaf.
Hey, I'm wondering, by the way, since now that we're doing this on the site of the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show fan page.
Okay.
I'm wondering if anybody's watching.
Hmm.
Probably not.
I mean, I hope so. I don't know.
Oh, Ben Lease is on there. Good buddy.
What's up, Ben? Ben's killing it, man. He's doing so many awesome things. Yeah.
The new Meisner Park Comedy Club in Boca.
Yes.
Where I'll be on the 23rd this Saturday for the Hilarities holiday show.
Oh, you're going to be there? Nice. Yeah, he's doing that. He's also good, you know, doing the Flamingo Theater down in Miami. And him and his brother Richie. You know Richie Lala. Yeah,
of course.
Killing the game. Great job, man.
One of my favorite jokes at Funky Buddha one time, back when Richie Lala was here. Perry Sack goes up there. He goes, it'd be great if Richie Lala married Lady Gaga. And then Richie's name would be Richie Lala Gaga.
It's so dumb, but it's funny.
Yeah. So that's cool, man. I'm looking forward to that this Saturday.
That's awesome.
And it's in Boca, which competes with the Boca Black Box.
Ah, Boca Black Box. Have you ever performed there, Dougie?
I did before me and Randy got into it.
Was this before? Did he always own it?
No, he doesn't own it. He just books it.
Oh, he just books it. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's the booking guy.
For comedy shows?
Yeah, and they do other things too, like concerts and music acts and stuff.
But I'm saying, is he the booker for that too? Or only, does he handle one aspect of booking, which is stand-up comedy?
I have no idea.
I'm saying it's a good question to know. If you wanted to book that room but didn't want to necessarily go through him, or do you have to go through him?
Whatever. Why am I gonna? You know,
I don't know. It's just a good question.
If I put a show together, yeah, maybe I'll have to. You know, I'm sure it'll charge me a fucking premium.
You think so?
I don't care. I'm not gonna go book that room. But
it's a cool looking room. I've never been there, but it looks cool.
Now I understand. Like I saw that, for example. I feel bad because Will Schreiner, good friend, he has a show there.
Oh yeah.
Oh, he's Will Lopez. But he posted on there, and I was a little buzzed one night. Okay. I was away out of town. I go. I'm not gonna be out of town during that show. I'm going to be out of town. I'd love to do it. I heard the booker's a douche.
You didn't say that.
Yeah,
Did you hit send or did you delete it?
No, it's on there. And then I ended up going back a day later and deleting it.
You see, you were drunk text. You can't be drunk Facebooking, Dougie.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
You can't. That's like, it's a bitch move. Because then you do. You go back the next day and he's like, I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
Delete.
What was I thinking?
We've all done it, though.
Yeah.
We've all done the drunk text.
Let's see. Would it help if I share it?
I don't know. I shared it.
Did you?
Yeah. I hope people are watching. I don't know. Hi, Mom. I don't know if you... Let me take out my iPhone 10 Plus.
That thing's huge. It looks like a phone book.
Yeah, baby. Just kidding. All right. Let me see if anyone's watching. We're doing a radio show. And then we're trying to see if anyone's watching. This is compelling conversation here, Doug.
Yeah, whatever. I don't
shout out to everybody who's listening on Bubba Army Radio, too.
Yeah, you guys.
You guys rock.
By the way, Ben says he loves us, too.
Nice. So you're back in town, Dougie.
I'm back in town.
Your three-week tour is over. You're going to be just back for the holidays, and then you're fucking
26,
leaving again.
Fly out early in the morning on the 26th, day after Christmas, for Reno.
You're a rolling stone, man.
But, dude, I can't. It's going to be so great. To be, you know, aside from missing my wife. I'm gonna be in Reno with Joey Medina hanging out, and you know,
yeah,
in a casino like the baby Vegas, as they call it.
That's a good look though, if, from him to, you know, vouch for you and bring you out there, because it could be another connection for you, moving, expanding your rooms that you get to go to.
Well, that's what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping.
What are you fidgeting with over there, Doug?
I'm trying to keep the damn volume up because I feel like my voices are.
I bet it sounds fucking crispy.
It probably sounds great.
It probably sounds awesome.
It probably sounds much better on Facebook Live, but I don't know. Listen, I'm trying to get acclimated again.
Right.
To everything at home. You know, it's like my bed. Like I slept in my. I love my bed.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that I had pillows. You know, I forget. You know, when you were somewhere else, like when I stayed at hotels in between the, you know, a couple days in between the condos.
Yeah.
I loved it. I had like 18 pillows in my room. You know.
But you were saying, like, you get home, you've been away for a while, you got to remember what your, you know, your passwords,
yeah,
or like passwords, where you put shit.
Yeah.
The last place you left your shoes or whatever, yeah, like all these little things.
And that was really nice. I did all my laundry when I got home, so my wife didn't, you know, I didn't just unload everything and go, here.
Right.
Take it.
You just leave it at the door.
One of the things, being away, and as a comic, I was struck with was, and a couple other comics I work with, was this concept of loving what we do. I wanted to open the show a little bit of that. Like I had a couple times people asked me at, like, I was in Oklahoma City. It's a couple, hey, do you really like doing this? You know, do you really enjoy it?
Okay.
And I'm like, yeah. And then, like, on the flight home, I got to see Dying Laughing, which is a movie about comics, and they all talk. Chris Rock's on it. Fuck, who? I mean, Sam Tripoli. I mean, all these comics are on there. Jerry Lewis. I mean, all these, you know, and they're all talking about the business, like, you know, what it is to do it, like, and there was a lot of interesting parts about it, but it is an interesting thing. Think about it. It's because it started out, they're talking about, like, the travel, you know, like all you really care about is when you're on stage, but then you got to spend most of your time traveling,
right?
You know what I mean? And like sitting in a house by yourself, you know, and you know, whatever, and a lot of times on the road, sometimes you get shitty hotels and gigs, or, you know, but then you got to love it. I mean, in order to put up with that shit, you got to love it,
right?
And that's what it's all about, man. Because when you're on stage, there's no better feeling.
So who was talking about this? The other comics or people?
Other comics. Like, I worked with this young guy, Micah Medina,
okay,
who's our host at Oklahoma City. And, you know, he's like 4 years into the game.
But he travels a lot, too?
You know what I mean? He's just getting started.
So he was asking you if you enjoy, like, what the aspect of traveling
is. Like, yeah,
was.
Like, how do you, you know, how are you enjoying it? He goes, I love it. And,
right,
yeah, like, for example, he drove home. I felt bad because the first night he was hosting there was it Wednesday? Must have been Wednesday. And after the show, he drove me back, and I found some papers.
Yeah.
He actually, no place in Oklahoma, 7-Elevens in Oklahoma City don't sell rolling papers. It's a, you know, it's like a Bible Belt place, you know, so they don't sell them. So I'm buying, you know, I had to go to this questionable neighborhood to get my rolling papers, and then he drove all the way back to Tulsa, like an hour and a half. And then he posted on, it's kind of cute, he posted on Facebook, he's like, all this day, I worked my ass off, an hour and a half drive. What did I do this? And then I drive home. My wife says, oh, welcome home, baby. And he was happy.
Right. It made it all worth it.
It's like the little things, you know what I mean?
Of course.
But you have to have a good support system. Like, look what happened with Laugh Factory. You know, my wife could have been like, oh, you're going to be gone for New Year's Eve. That sucks. And then, you know, I would have been torn.
Right, of course.
To have to make a decision.
But that's it. She knows. She's like, you got to take this gig.
She's real. Yeah, she's
you
a good,
got it.
She's a fuck yeah.
She gets it. She knows how much it means to you.
So you got
to
have something like your girl's back. You know, obviously, she's 100% behind you.
Oh, my God. She's like one of the biggest support systems I
now,
have.
Now, when you met your girl, were you doing this or were you delivering pizza or something?
No. When we met, I met her at a comedy show, actually.
Yeah.
And she knew it's late nights. It's a lot of, I mean, you know, it's glorified hanging out with your buddies, but
right,
it's work. You're late night doing open mics and stuff like that. She gets it and she understands. Actually, you know, in the last year or two, I've slowed down a lot from doing mics and other stuff,
right,
because, I mean, I've been busy doing other projects, but like I hurt my leg for a while and I was out of the game for a minute.
Right.
And she actually now she's encouraging me to get more into it and more active. And I couldn't have asked for a better person to be my wife. Hey, baby. when we do get married finally, we are engaged, though. And,
oh, yeah.
But, yeah, because she's awesome. She taught me positivity, man, really. She's so positive about everything.
Right.
And it's so important, too, to stay positive. Like, you know, you're making these connections now. And talking about traveling and loving it, you usually are driving everywhere.
Yeah.
You know? Doesn't it feel great to now you're upgrading to flying places? you're fucking flying now. So yeah. It's like,
I don't mind. I'll be honest with you. I'd rather drive.
Yeah.
7-8 hours, than have to fly somewhere in 2 or 3.
And that's the thing. Usually, you are driving all over.
I'd rather
because
I'm in my car.
Yeah.
I got my everything with me. My party favors. You know what I mean? I'm just dealing like
party favors.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm doing things where I want to do it on my time.
Yeah.
I'm in the car. You know, it's nice if you have somebody traveling with you, but.
I agree too. I love driving and being in control. And like, I hate riding somewhere with someone because then you're stuck. You're on their like time. I'll drive my own fucking car.
Right.
You want to go downtown Fort Lauderdale? Yeah, I'll meet you there.
Yeah.
I'll meet you. I'll leave when I want to leave.
Yeah.
And I'll go if I don't have to go right home.
Yeah.
And get dropped off. I can go to Wawa and get a fucking sandwich at 2 in the morning if I want to.
Stop at a strip club.
No, yeah. Exactly.
Listen, I don't go anymore. Don't bother.
But don't talk about it. No.
but like you said, it's the support. Like you mentioned, hanging out.
Yeah.
Like I think one of the things my wife, like at first she was like, you know, I'd be out hanging out and stuff and things like that. And all of a sudden, you know, she'd be like, oh, what, are you really hanging out with your friends? But now, after so many years, she knows now we do. Like after a show, we'll end up just sitting there bullshitting.
I think that's just as important as going and doing your time on stage is to hang out afterwards with the other comics and hear the stories and be part of the scene.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's just as important, if not more important than being on stage. Cause that's how you get booked on shows. That's how you connect with people. And they say, hey, I want to bring you out. Cause not only are you funny on stage, but you're fucking cool. I like you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And you got to socialize a little bit.
Yeah.
Be part of the system. But you know, my wife understands that now. She doesn't think I'm out there trying to catch ass somewhere.
Nah, we're hanging out with the
buddies. Yeah, we're just fucking doing what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
But she's realized that now, you know? So listen, when it comes to this business, you got to have a good support system.
True story.
There are grungies of the business, what we call grungies of the business. You know, sometimes you get booked and then there's cancellations. It was interesting. I showed what happened in the local Florida comedy scene. Between two comics here. I'll name him Paul Jumilis?
I think it's Jumaeus.
Jumaeus?
I think it's
Jumaeus. Funny guy, moved to New York.
He's fucking funny,
with Andres Tabago. And
Tabawada.
Tabawada.
There you go.
And then there's a local comic here in Miami, Dan Bell, that books Churchill's, which is it's not a glamorous venue in any sense.
That's a fucking understatement, Doug.
Yeah.
It's a dive bar of a room.
I'm trying to be nice.
Yeah, but I mean, you don't have to be nice. People know what Churchill's is, you know?
It's a crack haven.
And that's exactly what Paul, I think, in his post was trying to put. He even put a picture of him, and he goes, here's me with the fucking homeless guy.
Laying in the back.
That's the room.
It was funny because.
Don't oversell it as a booker.
I guess what happened was that Paul and Andre and Tyler want to do some time, so they contacted Dan, the booker of Churchill's.
Does he know Paul and Andres? Because if you knew Paul and Andres when they were here, they're pretty known in the scene.
Yeah.
If they want to come back and do some time, that's like if like Lisa Correa asked to do some stage time, people put her up because it's Lisa.
Not on my stage.
Why?
Listen, what I'm saying though is, yeah, you're right. Like I'm assuming that.
But you know what I mean? In the sense that if they come back in town, it's like, yeah, I'll put you up because you're I know you're funny.
Yeah, you do, but I'm
gonna must not know Paul.
I'm sure Dan didn't.
Right.
So Dan had asked him for a videotape. And I guess Paul was like, for Churchill's? Because now.
That's funny.
And understand this. Paul used to do shows there.
Yeah.
So he knows what it's like.
It's so funny.
But at the same time, here's Dan, who's like, he's just going through his own procedure. And as a booker, I got to respect anybody's procedure. Like,
I get that.
You know what I mean? Like, if I don't know somebody, I'm gonna want a video.
And I totally get that on his behalf, too.
And I'll even say to some people, like, if they're working, hey, I apologize, but can you just send me a video? Just, you know what I mean? Don't take it as if, you know, just.
It's not personal.
Yeah. And it's not like, listen, it's not like you got to send a DVD. You know, it's like, all you got to do is take a fucking link and email it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that part of it's easy. So I guess Dan was accusing Paul of being a diva.
Right.
And then basically on the other side, I was like, why the fuck are you bugging me about getting a video for a shit bar?
Yeah.
You know, for a shitty occasion.
I think it's hilarious.
Yeah. It's over 300 posts or whatever.
Something like that. Yeah. And I didn't even, you told me about it today. And I just love it. It's funny. They both have a great leg to stand on.
Right.
You know?
And
no one's right. No one's wrong.
And when you read the post, it seems like people are on both sides.
Yeah.
Like I messaged Dan. I go, hey, man. Because I had posted on there, like, Tim Hanlon and those guys are having a show at Gigi's, at Artistic Vibes. So underneath it, I said, hey, Tim, can I send you a videotape of me to be on that show? And I didn't want, Dan mentioned me back. He's like, I didn't ask you for a tape because, and I go, I didn't want my comment to, that's one thing about Facebook. You make a comment on somebody's and somebody misreads it. Like, are you backing him? No, I'm not. I'm just trying to be fucking joking about it.
That's the thing. Like, people take things too serious for one, but I think one of the worst things is you can't indicate tone in text form unless you put an emoji or an LOL or a JK, whatever. But people, we should know as comics that most of the time we're fucking, we're joking around.
Don't take it seriously.
We're you know, we're brothers. We're fucking with each other or sisters, whatever. I can't exclude
just
it.
Just don't take it seriously. So sometimes it's some of the grungies of the business is sometimes, you know, it's good and bad. Like you get the camaraderie of being the brotherhood of comedians, right? It's almost like it's like its own fraternity.
Oh yeah, totally.
Right, like you're a comic, then you understand. Like watching that movie, Dying Laughing.
Okay,
and you hear stuff. Like it was great. They were talking about like dealing with bombing, you know. And they were talking about it like, oh my god, you know. And they're basically like, you have to eventually experience it, you know, to understand, you know, the importance of, you know, doing
absolutely.
Well, right?
I mean, I think every comic can say that.
I would think.
Dude, I bombed so hard before. Many times.
You almost quit.
I didn't. You fucking say this every time, Dougie.
You said you were going to.
I didn't. I never. I never said I was going to fucking quit comedy.
You had a bad show and you're like, I don't know if this is for
me. But no, I never. Shut the fuck up, Dougie. I never said that.
I don't know if this is for me.
No, man. But I fucking bombed hard and I was like, damn. But it does. It propels you forward. To you have to feel it. You have to know what it feels
like.
If you're
an athlete, you lose a game, or if you're a fighter and you lose a fight, you get your ass whooped.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. You start questioning yourself, and then you either step it up or you get the fuck out.
True story. And a lot of people can't come back from a hit like that.
No,
they just can't handle. But I mean, that also goes with being an actor and doing auditions and stuff like that. You have to accept the rejection, because 99% of the time you're going to hear no.
When I started doing phone sales, like I started getting into the financial planning business, you had to do like direct calls, you know, cold calling, as they call it.
Oh, it's the worst.
And one of the first things they tell you is you have to accept the fact that you're going to probably have a 95% failure rate. So if you make 100 phone calls, 95 of them are going to tell you, fuck off, hang up, and all kinds of stuff. But what you're living for is that 5% that say, okay, come on over, right? And if you get that, you can make a living on that 5%. Because it's all about numbers.
That's crazy.
The 95% rule, brought to you here by the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. But I think this was a bad idea to air this on our site.
Wait, are you only airing it there?
No, but I shared it on ours.
But where do you usually air it from? From
my
your
page. Yeah.
I think you probably should have done it from your page.
Hmm.
Because more people know to watch it from your page and they engage it.
What
more.
If I share it on mine? Will people still see it like they would on mine?
No.
No,
it's just they see the share of it.
So they see a video playing with me, you and me.
You're right.
It.
I think they can still click on it.
So this, you know, I'm not doing any more podcasts. This is horrible. I'm just quitting. This is stupid.
And you know what? I can't say that I know exactly the science of behind how it works, because I have fucking zero followers. You know? Yeah, I was on TV and I have no followers, so it doesn't matter. It's all about, you have to know how to hack the matrix in order to get your followers up, I think. Also, you got to be funny. I guess I'm not that either. I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
I try.
We'll figure it out. Anyway, this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm here with Elgin David.
Yeah, yo.
And I'm back. By the way, there is no Wise Guys comedy shows in December because it's the holidays, and the club has a lot of private parties. We'll get excited, if you haven't mentioned it already. We are excited on January 3rd. I should say January 4th, our first ever Goldfinger Comedy Club.
Which is exciting.
At the Platinum Room at Goldfinger's, separate from the strip club. You can go there. You're just going to see a show. You're not going to see titties.
Gentleman's Club, Dougie.
Well, it's a gentleman's club, but it's not in the
right.
It's in the door next to it. And our first show is going to be Chris Gorgeous. Perry Sack is featuring, and myself. It's going to be every Thursday at Goldfinger's in Sunrise on University Drive. Just north of Oakland Park Boulevard. So we're excited. I got a bunch of shows planned for that. And of course, Tavolino's is coming back, which the show of January is going to be January 10th. Mark your calendars. Our headliner, Rich Voss.
Wow.
Great act right there. And then just because he happens to be in town and accepted it and would agree to Mike Kaplan will be our feature.
That's amazing.
Two headliners on the show. And we're also excited because they're going to be here in the studios. So if you guys aren't watching me now, you know, maybe I should keep you from being able to watch when other people are here. I'm going to penalize you. Anyway, I won't do that. I'm a nice guy. Hey, this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, and we'll be back with Straight from the Headlines right after this.
Hey, this is Lenny Travis from the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Listen every morning or Donald Trump will deport you. You homo.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
And now for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's Straight from the Headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Yeah. Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. And it's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from around the world and make fun of them.
Yes.
That's right.
Which is fun to do.
It's always fun to make fun of the news. By the way, congratulations. We have a new tax plan now. If you guys don't like it, tough shit. It's passed. Not that I wanted to talk much about that, but it is. A lot of people didn't think it was going to pass, but it did. Here's a story. Security robots are being used to ward off San Francisco's homeless population.
What? That's crazy.
Now, I saw the public-private offering for this company.
The robot company?
Yeah. It's a company called Nightscope.
Okay.
And they have a few different versions of their robots. They look like a big bullet.
All right.
You know? And then they had some problems with it, though, because at one point somewhere in San Francisco, somebody took the robot and pushed it down the stairs.
Ah.
And then I guess some other homeless people put shit all over it. You know? But it's homeless people sleeping that just goes walking in there.
So what does it do? It just follows them out? Does it have a little speaker that's like, get away from here?
Yeah.
You know, does it yell at them? Does it spray water? Does it tase them? How does the robot get the homeless person to move?
It comes up and does impressions of my ex-girlfriend. It bugs them off. Is it worse if a robot instead of a human is used to deter the homeless from setting up camp outside places of business? One such bot cop recently took over the outside of a San Francisco SPCA, an animal advocacy and pet adoption clinic, to deter homeless people from hanging out there, causing some people to get very upset. Silicon Valley game developer and congressional candidate Brianna Wu tweeted yesterday her dismay at the move, saying, "I'm sorry for being so frank, but this absolutely disgusts me as someone who experienced homelessness. Homeless issue, blah, blah, blah. However, the city's homeless are also associated with higher rates of crime." You know, there you go. Like, all right, are most of the homeless people good or are they criminals?
Well, I mean, how successful and a good person can they be if they're homeless? I mean,
they're not very good. In other words, well, it's not like they're going to rob somebody and then, you know.
I mean, not to say that some good people don't end up homeless. It happens. But I would assume that most of the people who are homeless are on drugs or something crazy. Is that wrong to say?
Yeah, for some people.
To assume?
Yeah. Somebody's going to fucking get mad at you.
Of course. Somebody's going to be like, oh, you don't know. Yeah. So many people lose their homes every day.
You know,
and they're good people.
This whole thing with the tax law and all these, whether you like it or not, but Democrats are basically saying, the rich just keep getting richer. Guess what? That's always going to fucking happen. We're not in a period of time where the rich are going to get poorer and the poor are going to get richer. That doesn't fucking happen. There's a reason why rich people are rich. Yeah, some people inherited it. But even the people that inherit it lose it if they're not smart. For the most part, if you're rich, it's because you fucking do shit other people won't do. Right? Athletes. Professional athletes become professional athletes. A, because they have it in them. And number two, because they never gave up. Unlike Elgin here, we wanted to quit after he bombed one time.
I'm going to quit this fucking show if you keep saying that.
You're
shit.
You're sitting in Peter's chair. You're getting like him now.
No, I am, though.
No, but, I mean, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you think about that. You think rich people are lucky?
And you made me curse.
Do you think rich people are lucky?
Well, yes. But there's a certain part of rich people who is lucky, yeah, when you're born into it, when you are a trust fund kid. Or,
right.
But at the same time, there has to be a level of talent to be. Like, mm-hmm. Okay, if you invented something that changed the fucking world, you deserve to be wealthy.
Yeah.
You know, like a Bill Gates or somebody like that. I give him mad credit. That's awesome. You know what I mean?
How many of the wealthy people on this earth do you think inherited it or had developed it?
Oh, I think a lot of people inherited it, don't you think?
There's more and more of the people that created it.
Yeah?
Because over time, that's what happened. More wealth has been spread over to other people.
Yeah, but okay.
Professional athletes, movie stars.
If one person invents something, you got to think of the ratio of the people who invent something, and then they have a family of 50 people who didn't do anything, but they all get some of his contribution.
How do you know? Yeah, because, I mean, you know, somebody thinks they're rich and they get a $250,000 inheritance. You're not rich. You know, we're talking about rich. We're talking about millions.
So you're talking about wealth.
Wealth. We're not talking about, you know, and that's the thing. But the rich keep getting richer. Yes. It has nothing to do with the tax code. It has to do with their attitude and what they fucking do and their connections and the networking they do and the late nights and all that kind of shit. Don't dismiss this. Now, every time I hear something like that, it reminds me of my brothers when they just say to me, oh, you're lucky. You're just lucky. No, I'm not fucking lucky. I stayed up at night. I went to college.
I hear what you're saying. Don't underplay the effort that went behind it.
Fucking rich people are going to get richer because, for the most part, they got, you know, that's the way it is.
I'll tell you one thing. If I ever got $1 million, Dougie, you would never see me again.
Yeah? You'd be done?
I'd disappear.
Hmm.
I would disappear.
Going back to the story, like I mentioned, the SPCA rolled out the use of a robot unit dubbed K9 for security startup Nightscope a month ago.
But I got a question.
Mm-hmm.
What is this robot doing to deter the people? You know, is he like dropping thumbtacks all over the floor so they won't set up a bed?
It only costs the robot $6 an hour, which is cheaper than a regular person who charges $16 an hour. Says here, unfortunately, in the last year, we've been forced to spend a significant amount of money to ensure the security and safety of the people on our campus as well as the animals in our care. Patrolling several areas around the shop, including the sidewalk where humans walk, drawing attention to the pedestrians. It says it shocks them where they orb. No.
How does it, first of all, okay, does it detect like a heat signature in the shape of a body laying on the floor? It's like, if you do not move, we will call the authorities in 30 seconds. And it like fucking puts a countdown. How does it get them up? It has to tase them or something.
The Nightscope bots are equipped with 4 cameras able to read more than 300 license plates per minute. They can move about and keep tabs on the area, noting anyone on a list of those who shouldn't be there. Said here, they experience a drop in crime since they've been around. Further, robots aren't going away. Well, no. I mean, I was going to invest in the company.
So what does it say? It says
it doesn't say what it does.
It knows people who shouldn't be there?
It just basically sits there and probably makes a lot of noise. And
it rolls around.
It doesn't roll like a...
It's like a Roomba. Moves, yeah. It moves around.
It's like an R2-D2.
Yeah, exactly. And it just like keeps bumping into someone until they're like, all right.
That's like a nag. Go into wife mode. Come on, get out and do the dishes. Hurry up, get to work. That's what it probably does.
It just nudges you over and over.
That's what it probably does. It probably keeps going, can't you get a job? What's the matter with you? You're useless? Your parents don't like you. You smell. Take a bath.
It just berates you until you're just like, all right, I can't.
I'm fucking out of here.
It prints out job applications and drops them on you.
Hey, by the way, did you know the Pound is hiring? Not a bad idea if you ask me.
And then it just sprinkles broken glass everywhere so you can't put a fucking towel down.
Joy Lee, by the way, said, I don't have a bed and breakfast doing comedy and social media. Good for you, buddy. And we had a bunch of watchers. Now we don't. So we go back. Let's go back to my fan page. No, I'm only kidding.
Have you seen this robot that's doing backflips and shit?
Yeah. The
that thing is going to, that's going to be the Terminator in a couple of years.
Yeah.
It's got 2 arms, 2 legs. It walks upright and can do backflips and jump from like, it does parkour, this fucking robot. It's impressive.
It's an Olympic athlete.
It's impressive. See, those robots should be out there punching people. They will be.
They probably will. Hey, here's a story. You know, that we talked about this big interstellar comet or meteor that you hear about, that thing.
They say it's a spaceship.
They think, yeah. They think it could be actually a fucking spaceship.
Shaped like a rock.
Well, listen.
Looks like a long rock.
Think about how we cloak ourselves now as airplanes, right? They got the stealth, which you can't see.
Okay.
And this and that. So could you imagine, like think about it. Like China and Russia, and they're all trying to put all this fucking space equipment up in space. So if you want to find a stealth plane, you just got to have high imagery cameras, right? And you can see them by visual.
Okay.
You know, I mean, unless they're coated and they have the camouflage paint. But You know, so who's to say that the aliens aren't smart enough, hey, let's make our spaceship look like a fucking rock.
You're absolutely right. And who even knows what technology they have, you know?
Right. I mean,
we don't know.
What do you mean? It looks like a what a piece of shit spaceship you got here, beep, beep, beep. Oh, it presses a button, now it's a Maserati.
But at the same time, it's also just as ludicrous to assume that it is a fucking spaceship. It could just be a giant rock.
It could be.
Because then it's us saying, oh, no, they cloaked it, and it's actually 17 ships, and, you know, they came from the future.
A team of researchers, including Stephen Hawking, is investigating whether the first known object from the outside of the solar system contains the first sign of life. Using the Robert C. Byrd Green Bank Telescope in West Virginia, scientists with a $100 million research project, Breakthrough Listen, will observe an asteroid named Anumuma. Ooh, God, I almost threw up.
Oh, I thought that was part of the name.
Yeah.
Anumuma.
For 10 hours on Wednesday, according to the project's website, Anumuma, the mysterious interloper recently spotted moving rapidly through the solar system, was discovered in October by that big telescope at the University of Hawaii. Unumuma, formerly known as the I-2017-U1, I like Unumuma better, the first object discovered in the solar system that appears to originate from another star system. Its high speed, 196,000 mile per hour at its peak. Well, I'll try to catch that. The object sparked interest because its highly unusual structure for an asteroid, which tend to be round, much like me, rather than the long and thin, much like my penis.
Oh, that makes sense. And is it traveling, like, long ways?
Mm. Yeah, is it spinning?
Yeah, if it was, like, spinning, then who gives you? But if it's, like, darting at us like a rocket,
yeah,
that's a little interesting. Okay.
Well, something like that. You know what I mean? Would something spin? You know, it's weird. But we're not NASA scientists, so what the fuck do we know?
I was watching Armageddon yesterday, actually, in that movie.
Oh, really?
That movie's great.
Yeah. Awesome. Is that the one with Bruce Willis?
Bruce Willis, Ben Affleck.
Deep Impact is the other one.
The shittier one.
Yeah.
That one sucked, by the way.
Yeah,
I wasn't a Deep Impact fan.
According to the statement released by Breakthrough Listen, researchers working on long-distance space transportation have previously suggested that a cigar or needle shape is the most likely architecture for an interstellar spacecraft.
How do they know that, though?
Because if you're going to travel through space, it's got to have like some sort, I don't know, aerodynamics. There's no air in space. Well, let's see. We'll get a report at some point. Whether the object is an alien aircraft remains to be seen, but scientists have seemingly offered a glimpse into their excitement and optimism. With its name, Anumuma is a Hawaiian term meaning roughly a messenger reaching out in advance. So, did sound Hawaiian.
So they're just making shit up. You don't know. Unless that fucking alien pops his head out the windshield.
Right.
Like, hey, you're not going
to. Stops and asks for directions.
Yeah, you're not going to know. And plus, again, we don't understand if it is. We don't know their technology, so we can't say, oh, they have it this shape because it's the best way to fly through space.
Uh-huh.
You know? It's stupid.
Here's a story. Human foot washes ashore in Canada. The 13th in a decade, the reports say.
Wait, what? A foot washed up on the shore?
Reminds me of AZ's joke.
I was driving down the street and I saw this shoe in the road. It still had a foot in it.
Human foot washes ashore in Canada. The 13th in a decade, reports say. That's an odd number of feet.
Yeah.
Canadian officials are investigating why a human foot washed ashore on Vancouver Island last week, marking the 13th foot to appear along the British Columbian coastline in the last 10 years.
Was there a note in it?
Has anybody seen my other 12 feet? I just fell out of this interstellar comet. Mike Johns, 56, told the news he was walking around or along the Jordan River on the southern part of the island Thursday when his dog made the stunning found. Stunning fund, it says here, but it's find. She was sniffing the bones, so I stopped and took a look, and I saw the bones and noticed it was attached to a shoe. This is AZ's joke.
Shut the fuck up.
Johns added that the foot was totally intact. The ankle bone still worked, and the bones were attached at the base of the knee. The photos of the foot showed it inside a sock within a black shoe.
Wow.
It's just a freak thing. If it happened to be here, Johns told the news. Royal Canadian Mountain Police, along with the coroner service of British Columbia, reportedly confirmed that the find was, in fact, a human foot.
Yeesh.
Johns brought the foot home before reporting it. Did a few dance steps with it. But investigators advise against that. Yeah. I mean, if I found a foot, I mean, aside from going home, honey, I'll be back. Where are you going now? I got to take this foot I found.
Oh, my God. He tried to dance with it. Then he had three left feet.
Yeah.
What do you do with a fucking foot?
In this case, someone out walking their dog took the bones home. Certainly no ill intent there. But if people see something like that, call the authorities and see if anybody is has misplaced a foot.
Well, now they're probably going to, you know, see if anyone missing persons, do some DNA on the foot. It could solve a cold case file
They should just go around looking for some guy who's hopping around. Or a guy who buys one pair of socks. Or only one sock.
That must suck if you have one foot. You have to buy both shoes. Do you think they sell just one or the other?
Yeah.
They should. It should be half price.
Right.
I'm not trying to be funny. It should, though.
Yeah. Or, you know,
if you have one foot, you should just have to buy one shoe.
Unless you have a fake leg and then you got to put one on the fake
leg.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, obviously.
But that shoe's not going to be worn much. Right, you're gonna wear through one shoe more than the other.
Why? Well,
because a fake leg doesn't have torque, so when you walk, that's where you get grinding.
I hear what you're saying.
So one shoe's gonna it's like never rotating your tires on a car. You know, you're always gonna keep changing the same tires. Egyptian singer sentenced to prison for a racy music video involving a banana.
Ooh,
what do you think happened? Well, they're in Egypt, so an Egyptian female pop singer was sentenced to 2 years in prison Tuesday after she was convicted of promoting debauchery for a racy music video that featured her provocatively eating a banana.
Wow.
Now, most of you guys out there don't have to ask yourself what that looks like. Shaima Ahmed, 25, better known for her stage name Shaima, was also ordered to pay a $560 fine. Fuck, I got to spend 2 years in jail and $560?
Yeah, you get that. Let me ask you a question. Is this video still available? I have to see how provocative mm-hmm. was this. Was she deep darting the fucking banana, or?
Well, after she swallowed it, she stuck it up her ass.
But I want to know, how conservative are they over there?
Well, they're in Egypt. Yeah, they're pretty.
I want to see if it was it a punishable crime. Was it that bad?
Shaima appeared in the video and clad in underwear and singing while suggestively eating an apple, a banana, and a taco shell. We know what that means. In front of a classroom filled with smiling young men.
Uh-huh.
The video created a stir on social media in conservative and Muslim-majority Egypt and was discussed on a TV talk show. Singer Shaima presents a lesson of depravity to youth. The Egyptian newspaper wrote in an article, the singer apologized for the backlash and the video received. She quote, I didn't imagine all this would happen and that I would be subject to such a strong attack from everyone, Shaima wrote. And her now deleted Facebook page. She doesn't have a Facebook page anymore. I guess we can't put our show on that.
Wow, she's cute. But yeah, she's pouring milk on a banana. I wonder what that signifies. Cereal?
Shireen no. Abdel Wahab, a famous Arab singer, was banned from performing in her native Egypt after advising against drinking from the Nile River. She was accused of spreading provocative publicity.
Wait a minute. She got for drinking from the Nile River?
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Drinking from the Nile will get me schizosomias.
What is that?
That's something about shitting, I'm guessing. The singer told a fan last year at a concert after she was asked to sing, Have You Drunk from the Nile? So she's basically saying you can't drink from the Nile because you'll shit all day.
Okay.
So it's kind of like their version of Montezuma's Revenge.
Okay.
Right.
So wait, so she got in trouble for dissing the Nile River?
Like, yeah. Like you,
for talking ill about the Nile.
Yeah. I mean, it's a famous river. It's a biblical river.
Wow.
You can't say don't drink from the Nile.
That's ridiculous.
What's up, Joe Adams? How you doing, buddy? Too much.
All right. What else you got, Dougie?
What else we got? $14.25 million lottery jackpot claimed just 2 days before expiring.
Now that's lucky.
Yeah.
Imagine having the winning ticket and then showing up and like, no.
Sorry, you're a day late.
We're not serving breakfast anymore.
Yeah.
You're a minute late.
Fucking hate that. I hate when I go to some place and like, oh, we're not serving lunch yet. I don't go to fast food breakfast. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
$14.25 million lottery jackpot claimed just 2 days before expiring. On December 14th, a Texas lottery jackpot was claimed right in the nick of time when a trust received $14.25 million only 2 days before the ticket was set to expire. The trust, represented by trustee Kim Folks, choose the lump sum payment for the lotto ticket, which came out to $10,072,000.
$40 want that in your life?
$10 million. I mean, yeah, that'd be nice. Just I'd pay the house, right? I'd go get myself a nice fat car.
See, the thing about being rich, you were talking about this earlier. You need money in order to make money.
Right.
And the thing about people who are rich is because they invest. You know what I mean? They're smart about it.
For the most part, it's all about decision. Listen, I'm convinced that success is predicated on decision making.
Of course.
Right? Just like the decision not to bring weed on the plane. You know, that could have fucking screwed up a major amount of things for me.
Yeah.
Right? Why? Just to save $20 in weed?
Dumb.
You know what I mean? Just do it. It's all about the decisions you make. You know, how successful you are. I've got everybody's calling me about Bitcoin now. Should I invest in Bitcoin?
Yeah, man. Everyone's talking about this.
I mean,
I heard a guy got arrested for selling Bitcoin. He was selling Chuck E. Cheese tokens and convincing people they were actual Bitcoins.
Listen, there's no such thing as a Bitcoin. It's crypto. It's cryptocurrency. You can't see it. Matter of fact, if you're ever going to use it.
That's what I was going to ask. Can you even spend it yet?
Yeah, you can, but it's a process. Like if I have something I want to buy from you,
okay.
I got to email you, and then you got to send me a confirmation back, and then we got to recode it. I got to send you something back.
Okay.
Then it's got to confirm and link, and then we got to process it.
But is there an app that does this?
I don't know. I don't have Bitcoin.
Is it like Bitcoin.com?
But whatever, you know.
I want to know how it works. Everybody's talking about it.
But there's systems you got to get on, like this. They call these blockchains that transfer it and stuff.
But it takes a while, right? It's a process.
It's not like you hand over a check. It's like you got to go back and forth and you got to confirm and it's there, you know.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
You don't have any?
No. Can't say I do. Although I told a recent friend of mine who wanted to buy it, I go, how much are you going to invest in it? You know, first thing you got to do is you got to ask yourself, like if I have $100,000 worth, I'm not going to put $50,000. I may put 5% as a speculative investment because.
But it's so late to invest now, in my opinion.
You don't know. I mean, some people think you reach $100,000. It's like when Netflix went from 40 to fucking 100. People are like, oh, it's too late. Now it's at 180.
Right.
But what I told them was, it's all about entry. So instead of buying one lump sum of 10 grand. You should take 10 periods and buy it over a period of time. Buy 1,000 at a time.
Oh, okay.
So buy 1,000 now, buy 1,000 in a couple days, a week, whatever. Dollar cost averaging.
But what's one Bitcoin right now? It's like 15,000.
18,000,
19,000. So you need just to buy one, $20,000,
well,
boom.
You could buy a fraction of a Bitcoin.
What the fuck's the point of that?
Well, it doesn't matter. If a Bitcoin goes to 100,000, you have a quarter of a Bitcoin.
Why
here? You have $25,000 worth in that quarter Bitcoin. Here's a story. Florida man nabbed by cops for not pulling over claimed he was racing to have sex. Let's open up the book to the excuses for the cop.
That's awesome.
Right?
Come on, man. Come on, hear me out. He's like, bro, hear me out, bro. I just got this text. It says, you up?
Yeah, look at this ass. Look at the titties on this
You know
this
what
thing.
That means. You up?
The adventure of a Florida man continue. A teenage Honda driver was nailed by the cops after a brief chase in St. Petersburg, Florida, early this month, only to claim that he never noticed the lights and the sirens behind him, so desperate he was to reach his girlfriend and get lucky.
Mm-hmm.
According to the Pinellas County documents brought by the Smoking Gun, a police officer in an unmarked patrol car spotted the 18-year-old Reuben Hughes, who is black, for those of you who keep in count, if this was racial profiling or not, driving recklessly, blasting through a residential neighborhood in his 2005 Honda Accord. Now, I'm against that. You don't go through residential neighborhoods because that's how kids get hit.
Obviously. But what time is it, though? What time was it?
Did I say that yet?
I don't know. But if it's late.
I'm looking.
Your kid is out in the street.
And it's your fault, right?
What the fuck's he doing up at that time anyway?
Blasting
also,
through.
This kid's 18.
Mm-hmm.
I empathize with this kid. I had a buddy of mine who would rollerblade like 5 miles to go have sex with his girlfriend when we were fucking 18.
Oh, back then, I would drive all the way to Hialeah.
So I get it. It's like, I'm not getting up from the couch. Yeah. That's all right.
The officer flipped on his lights and siren and sped off in pursuit, only to see the Florida man accelerate away ignoring my emergency equipment. According to the report, the pursuing officer radioed in the car's description, enabling another units to keep tabs on the vehicle. Eventually, Hughes came to stop several blocks away from the initial location where the officer spotted him. After being read his rights, however, Hughes reportedly offered up an explanation for his brief dash away from the law. He says, "I was thinking with my dick.
My dick made me do
my
it.
My dick. My dick's fucked.
He's driving.
Yeah, my dick stuck. Came out of my pants and started shifting.
It was Jimmy the Killer Dick."
He claimed he never noticed the lights and siren behind him as saw hustling off the extreme dedication to meet his girlfriend for relations.
Did he get away with it?
Yeah, no. He could have been charged with a felony count of fleeing and eluding a police officer.
Oh, man, I thought the cop would have gave him a high five and then like an escort to the place. Like, follow me. Woo!
Is she hot? Oh, yeah. Can you imagine? He shows her a picture and she's a dog. She's disgusting. She's a pig.
He's like, let me see your Snapchat.
Yeah.
That'll depend if I let you go or not.
That's right. I think we got time for one more story.
Let's do it.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's see. There's a couple stupid stories here. All right, let's do this one. Bringing marijuana to court clerk's office is highly unwise. Didn't we have a story a few weeks ago? A guy went to court.
Yeah, and he took his hat off.
The cocaine bag fell out of his hat.
Yeah, what an idiot.
Yeah.
So somebody brought weed now
to
the courtroom.
Bringing marijuana to a court clerk's office is highly unwise, as they say.
Which stinks. Also, it's going to smell, you know? Cocaine, although the smell of cocaine is amazing.
Yeah.
The weed, it's going to be coming off your clothes, like little lines.
It wafts.
Yes. Why would you do that?
Fort Pierce, when going to St. Lucie County Clerk Office, Circuit Court Office, building the place with X-ray and metal detecting machines, it might behoove you to leave your weed at home. It's a tip that Calvin Edwards, 56, may take under advisement following a November 20th incident, according to the information on the arrest affidavit. At the clerk's facility in downtown Fort Pierce, a St. Lucie County Sheriff's deputy reported being assigned to scan and check people through the X-ray and metal detection machines. A man later identified as Edwards entered and was told to empty all items from his person before going through the machine. Edwards set off when he walked through. Investigators determined that he had metal items in two pockets. I had Calvin empty the pockets, affidavit said. When he emptied his right front pocket, he had placed four quarters along with a small plastic bag into the tray.
What an idiot.
No problem with the four quarters. In the bag, investigators say was marijuana, a green vegetative substance that some roll into cigarettes and smoke before for euphoric feelings.
Wait. They had to, like, spell out what marijuana is in this article?
Green vegetable substance. Marijuana is frowned on, authorities say, in the extent of possessing it in many states, including Florida, is illegal.
Just in case you don't know what marijuana is.
Yeah.
Here's a link to the Wikipedia page of marijuana.
You know, you're going to go to court. Leave your weed at home. Just saying.
Or feel it in your pocket and leave it there and take the quarters out. Did he think the weed was metal? Oh, then I got to put it in the bowl. It's going to set the machine off.
I thought he was going to have one of those like one-hitters. And like, beep,
oh,
beep,
yeah,
beep.
Yeah, that makes sense.
What's that? Oh, I don't know. I thought it was a cigarette.
That would be a nice little gift to leave at the comedy condo.
Yeah.
You leave one of those little one-hitter
quitters. Right, but I was in Oklahoma City, and they didn't have really any head shops there.
No gas stations either?
Well, they had one.
The gas stations in the hood always have, like, a fucking display case.
Yeah, pipes and stuff.
Yeah, but no, they're called tobacco products.
It's for tobacco.
Nobody's smoking loose tobacco out of a pipe.
No.
Dude, they sell like, glass Bic pens still in the stores.
Yeah.
And you know people are just using those as crack pipes.
Well, I almost went with the old Apple, right? I just finished some
really?
When I didn't have a pipe.
You got that desperate in the comedy. He's like, I got to find a friend.
That or I got done taking a shit and I had the toilet roll out. I was going to get some tinfoil and poke a hole. And like, you know.
Now that's desperate times.
Yeah, when you make a bong or a little pipe out of your toilet roll.
Desperate times. Call for desperate measures.
Absolutely.
Everybody turns into a fucking engineer.
Like a MacGyver.
When you run out of
utensils. Hey, with that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I want to thank Elgin David for joining us today.
Always fun to be here.
And, of course, don't forget to join our fan page on Facebook where you can see our live shows. at Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. We're also on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Dougie Dangerous. And we have a YouTube page also, Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Check out some of the videos on there. Me beating Minda in a race. You trying to get the ball from my dog.
Yeah.
Me beating Peter and who could throw it further. There's a few videos we got to add to that again. And aside from that, don't forget, guys, no shows this week, but I will be on September 23rd, or December 23rd. I'm going to be at the Meisner Park Comedy Club for a night of holiday hilarity, $8 p.m. show. Go to Eventbrite and look for my name on that, and you'll get a discount. Anything coming up?
Yeah, man. Tonight I'll be at the 33rd Street Wine Bar in Fort Lauderdale, so come check me out there. Also, follow me on Instagram. I'm trying to get my followers up, so follow me on Instagram at Elgin David.
There you go. And don't forget, guys, special treat for you guys tomorrow here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. The one who started it all with me, originally the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, was Lenny and Dougie Show. Lenny Travis will be here in studio joining us here on Sunday. A lot of fun to have Lenny in tomorrow. Thanks again for listening, guys, and we'll see you here tomorrow right at the same spot. Take care.
People on earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And yellow colors of a thousand sunsets, they travel to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside, thick beam of light hit the ground. Everyone felt the sound of their heartbeat. Every man, every woman, every child. They passed the limits of imagination to the door, to the world.